Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We have gotten to the point, ladies and gentlemen, when we celebrate Christmas, for most of us, it becomes ordinary. Listen, anytime Jesus is placed anywhere, anytime Jesus is allowed to live in somebody's heart and life, the ordinary person, the ordinary challenges becomes extraordinary because they have the touch of divinity on it.
The truth is, God wants you to be a star. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message Extraordinary about how God used a magnificent star to guide the wise men to Jesus and how he can use you today to lead more people to the Savior. Stick around and be encouraged by Dr. Young's powerful message. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a $75,000 challenge grant that has been offered to help meet a vital $500,000 year-end need. This exciting challenge means your gift today will go twice as far to help The Winning Walk close out this year on the strongest possible footing, ready to proclaim the gospel far and wide in the year ahead. Your generosity will lead to a spiritual harvest as together we scatter seeds of truth across the world through this program. So, call today to help meet the year-end need, knowing that your gift will go twice as far when combined with the challenge grant. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. On the night before Halloween, 1938, Orson Welles produced The War of the Worlds, a radio play about an alien invasion. It was so realistic that it created pandemonium across the country. Some people went to hiding, others went to church to pray, thinking that the planet really had been invaded. The truth is, our planet has had a visitor from the outside. That's what happened on the first Christmas when God came down out of heaven and was born as a babe in Bethlehem and lived among us, fully human, yet fully God. The Word became flesh. What a thrilling declaration. God took on flesh. Not only did Jesus come to show us how to live, he came to die that we might know life eternal. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what Christmas is all about.
Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Extraordinary.
It was an ordinary night, nothing unusual expected, clear sky, stars everywhere, maybe a half moon, I don't know, little cool, cold breeze blowing, much like here tonight, maybe a little puffy white cloud going by. Ordinary night. The sheep were out in their fold. Not a single one of the sheep had ever won a blue ribbon at the Houston Livestock Show. Not a single one. They were ordinary sheep, some fat, some old, some scrawny. Just sheep, normal sheep. Nothing unusual, very ordinary. A shepherd or two was there, and these shepherds were always ordinary. They had everything they owned, all the clothes they had in the world were on their back. They lived with sheep, they smelled like sheep. They were the untouchables in the Middle East. They couldn't worship in the temple because they were unclean. They were not accepted in a court of law because they thought they were ignorant and unworthy. They were the throwaways of the society. Shepherds, ordinary sheep, ordinary shepherds, ordinary night in a Middle Eastern little town called Bethlehem. We have gotten to the point, ladies and gentlemen, when we celebrate Christmas, for most of us, it becomes ordinary. At my house, we have so many nativity scenes, you wouldn't believe it. We've collected them through the years. People have given us nativity scenes. And you can walk to any room in my house, almost without exception, and there's one or two or three nativity scenes. And I even noticed this time, we have a nativity scene, and most of them have the same thing, right? They have a star, have a stable, they have the shepherds, they have the wise men, they have Mary and Joseph and the baby, and they have goats or sheep. But I've got a nativity scene that even has a chicken. You've never seen that. A chicken. Sort of out of place in the normal nativity scenes. But we look at all of this, and it's sort of ordinary. Christmas again. This is the way Christmas is expressed, with nativity scenes. But I want us this Christmas Eve to zoom in. You like that word zoom now? Have you been using it lately? I want us to zoom in on some very ordinary things when we think of Christmas and those nativity scenes, and discover something about ordinary things when Jesus gets involved. First of all, I want us to look at an ordinary star. We know that star in the east guided those wise men, probably from Mesopotamia between the Tigris and Euphrates River, and that star brought them all the way to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem until those wise men were at the very feet of Jesus. How did that happen? A star led them. That star was the first, I believe, GPS system in all the world. It was a travel guide that led them all the way to Jesus. By the way, what is a star? I dare say few of us could give a definition. A star is some helium and hydrogen, a little bit of carbon, and it's held together by gravity. And stars are flung all over the universe. That's what a star is. When a star burns out, it puts a black hole in our cosmos. That's where the black holes come from. The stars have burned out. What a story. How big are stars, by the way? Did anybody know? A few of us. The small stars are about 124 miles in diameter, small stars. The large stars are almost 622,000 miles to the diameter. They are humongous, as children would say. They are bigger than big. Therefore, how many stars do you think are in our solar system? How many do you think? Astrophysicists have recently reported that if you took every grain of sand, every little grain of sand on all the beaches in the world, and you multiplied the number you would get by 10, you would have how many stars there are in our solar system. Hello? If you hadn't heard that before, I'd say, wow. Think about it. Let me say it again. Every grain of sand on every beach in the world multiplied by 10, whatever that number would be, how many trillion, trillion, billion, billion, I don't know the name for it. You multiply all those grains of sand by 10, and we have more stars in our solar system than that. When I bumped into that, I didn't know it. I was stunned. And I said, God, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then I thought about Psalm 8. The psalmist says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars thou hast ordained, the psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Isn't that what we come to see? In light of the vastness, the amazingness of the created order that we know a little bit about, not the billion and billion of other constellations and orders that are all over this unknown world, just a little bit we know about. We say what the psalmist says, God, what is man? What is a human being that you are mindful of him? Then he said, or the son of man that you visited him. God visited this planet. Whew. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. And God came and said, let me tell you who you are as a human being. You were created just a notch below angels. Human beings, we're just a notch below the angels. And he says, you are charged with being responsible for this creation, for the firmament. You're responsible for the animals. You're responsible for the fish. You're responsible for the stewardship, because I have put you there in charge of all that I have done in the world order. What a lofty position. And then the psalmist says, the glory of God is declared in the heavens. I look to the heavens and I find the glory of God. So we go all the way to Bethlehem. And we go from Bethlehem all the way back to the Middle East, all the way back to Mesopotamia. And we see that star that guided those wise men. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declared the glory of God to those wise men. Think about it. What do you think it would take? What do you think it would take to take these mystical stargazers who probably worked for the king to look at the heavens and determine that this is a divine once, perhaps in forever event? If you've been watching, this past Tuesday, if you looked in the sky in a certain area, you would see that two planets lined up. And you would not be able to see that with the naked eye since the 1600s. But that Bethlehem star, as it is called, is a phenomenon that had never happened before and will never happen again, according to the computers who study the solar system as they read about it in NASA. What was that supernatural thing? That ordinary star that became an extraordinary star. What did it consist of? First of all, those mystics looked into the heavens and they saw a lion. They saw the constellation. They saw the lion, and they knew the lion always stood for Israel. And then they looked around and they saw something else. They saw not just a lion that stood for Israel in that whole light being that was created in the heavens. They looked and saw Venus, a planet. And they know that Venus stood for motherhood. And then they looked and they saw Jupiter. And Jupiter, they knew, always stood for kingship. And then they looked and they saw something else. They saw Romulus, which always stood for divinity, that always stood for royalty. So those stargazers, they saw all of those four lined up, a constellation, two planets, and a star, and that would compose the GPS system that guided those wise men all the way to the foot of Jesus. That has never before happened in history and never again will happen in history. Oh God, how great thou art. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God always has a tour guide to lead anybody and everybody, anytime, any place, all the way to Jesus. You can't miss it if you're observing, if you're alert. What is God? Who is that tour guide in your life? Where is that star in your life? Somebody that says, get it together. Find a new life. Wake up. Look up. Look out. Jesus Christ wants to take your life and give you a brand new life. No more addictions. No more filth. A new being. A new being in this world. You see, God always has a GPS for you. Always has a GPS for me. And we have to find out what that is. Look around. It's right there that will lead you to Christ, that will lead you into the church, where you can grow and worship and be fed and nourished and become what God designed you to become. He always has a guide there for us. Don't miss it. Respond to it. So we focus on the star, and then I want us to focus on something else. I want us to focus on the cave, perhaps it was, the stable, perhaps it was, where Jesus was born. A star became an extraordinary star because God used it. And then we see that stable. Well, there's stables everywhere, all around the world, especially in Bethlehem area. What made this stable special? Because Jesus was born there. What made that star extraordinary and special? Because it guided them to Jesus. And that stable, what a place for a baby to be born. Think about it. The first air that Jesus would breathe would be have the stench of animal urine, would it not? The sounds, the smell, untidiness, look, the stable. It looks to me like if God could prepare a star, that those planets, the constellations, and God, all the wise men, couldn't he have provided, you know, the Bethlehem General Hospital for Jesus to be born? Wouldn't that work? Or maybe the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, that'd been better? This is God in human flesh. But he didn't. God, with great intentionality, determined that his son would be born in a filthy animal stable. Why? Why? It's so that all of us would understand that when divinity came into time and place and history, divinity didn't carry with it sort of a gilded life. A special kind of blessing, special kind of protection, with all the trappings of the elite. Instead, divinity came into life in the lowest possible common denominator. Lowest possible common denominator. Jesus, before he was 1 year old, was a refugee. Yep, they had to run to Egypt, remember? Jesus, in all probability, Joseph would have died early, and Jesus had to be the oldest child in a family raised by a mom alone. Jesus worked as a construction worker the first 30 years of his life. Jesus, when he needed friends, they turned on him and cursed him and denied him. Jesus died, what some people believe, one of the most horrific deaths anyone can die. Does that sound like a specially privileged life? No, the stable tells a story that any of us back up and say, God, you don't understand. He say, I lost my boy too. I've been where you've been. I have gone through the bottom of shame and persecution and misunderstanding. See, he was born in a stable so that he can identify with anybody and everybody, and nobody can say, God, God, you're not treating me fair, because Jesus took upon himself all the hardship that anyone can endure. That stable, focus on that stable. That stable becomes not an ordinary place for animals, but an extraordinary place, because it is a symbol of how far God has gone to identify with anybody and everybody and any position of life. And then I want us to take and kind of focus in and zero in on one other thing in that nativity scene, and that's the manger. I don't believe many of us in the 21st century even know what a manger was, except for this Christmas story. I don't think, what is it? We wouldn't know that, most of us. A manger was a trough, a piece of farm furniture, probably crudely constructed. But the manger had eminence and became the cradle for a king when that little smidgen of scripture says, Mary laid him in the manger. And a manger, a feed trough, ordinary became extraordinary because Jesus was placed in the manger. Listen, anytime Jesus is placed anywhere, anytime Jesus is allowed to live in somebody's heart and life, the ordinary person, the ordinary challenges becomes extraordinary because they have the touch of divinity on it.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. Years ago, a lady named Rose was married to a man named Joe. After having a son, Rose had another child, this time a little girl, who was born with special needs. Sadly, Rose fell into deep depression. A maid in Rose's home told her, "Until you make your heart a manger for Jesus to be born, you will never be happy." That upset Rose so much that she fired the maid. But that night, Rose awakened and felt the presence of God in her room. So she prayed, "Oh God, make out of my heart a manger for Jesus to be born." The lady in the story was Rose Kennedy, matriarch of the Kennedy family. She experienced true peace when the Prince of Peace entered her heart. This Christmas, do you need to welcome the Prince of Peace into your heart? If so, just make out of your heart a manger. Invite Jesus to enter your heart, and you will not only have a new heart and a new life and forgiveness, you will be born again.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young, and we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. Before we let you go, though, we'd like to remind you about the urgent $500,000 year-end need, which must be met by December 31. Your support is vital to ensure that together we can sow seeds of the gospel in more hearts and lives in the year ahead. And don't forget, your support will go twice as far when combined with the $75,000 challenge grant. So call now to give and help reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for joining us today on The Winning Walk. Be sure to listen tomorrow for part two of Dr. Young's message, Extraordinary.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255.